come on.
I will open the joint special committee on special joint committee on session schedule. January 15th, 2009. The first item on the agenda is adoption of committee rules.
Mr. Chair, you're short a quorum here on the House side, I think, aren't you? Oh, you got it? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You do have in front of you a copy of the committee rules. Basically, they're very similar to last session's rules. I'll just then peruse the, or go over the first few and then highlight the last two. This is a joint committee. We need a quorum of consisting of four House and three Senate members. Co-chairs can call a meeting as long as it's posted in advance. That the full committee can also name a subcommittee. That you do have an affirmative vote of both majority of both chambers to introduce a measure, that type of thing. The probably biggest change is on point 17, that to pass a bill out of committee or amend it, you must have the fiscal and revenue statements present at the dais, not to adopt, but actually to pass the bill to report it out. In this case, we do have the dash three amendments in front of you, and I do have a no fiscal and no revenue statement on the dash three amendments, so we are within the rules.
Okay. Co-Chair Robin, do I have a motion?
Oh, I have a question.
Oh, question.
Mr. Co-Chair, if you don't mind. Relative to the issue of Rule 17, my understanding of that rule would, the operation of that rule would prevent the referral of a measure from the floor to Ways and Means because it had a fiscal, because in fact we would already have the fiscal. So in other words, the procedural motion of moving a bill to full Ways and Means or to a subcommittee from the floor at least would be rendered moot because we'd already have reviewed the fiscal impact and have the report before this committee took action. Am I correct in that estimation?
I believe you are correct. If we would want an official call on that, I would probably ask.
Well, I have absolute trust in the co-chair's parliamentarian powers of assessment. So if he says that it would prevent it, then I'll believe it.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Yes.
May I ask the good senator from John Day what the effect of your point is?
What the effect of my question was?
Right.
I have, for the past several sessions, witnessed the demise of excellent legislation because it was referred to Ways and Means to die because somebody decided it had a fiscal. But if we have already answered the question about whether or not there's a fiscal, then that would not be a likelihood.
Okay.
So the absence of a fiscal does that. But if something has a fiscal determined in a committee like this or a policy committee to have a fiscal impact, could still appropriately be referred to Ways and Means to be weighed in the balance against other bills that cost money.
That is probable, Mr. Co-Chair, to answer the good representative's question. But I guess my point is that most of those referrals were on measures that had no fiscal, and the question was raised in the debate that they would have a fiscal, and because there was no way to answer that before there was an analysis done, they went into the little black hole where all bad bills go to die, which is that is a referral to legislative fiscal or full Ways and Means from the floor.
As way of clarification here, first of all, it probably has to be an issue that we need to get further clarification on. This committee actually only has one actual measure before it and may never meet again. And that measure has neither no revenue nor fiscal impact. The outstanding question that I would have, which we probably need to get clarification on, is if a minority report is offered on the Senate floor, which you may or may not know what fiscal impact is, because it is not being from a committee, would a referral then to Ways and Means be appropriate if there is a belief it does have a fiscal
well,
effect?
Since I am the chairman of the minority party, I would say no.
Mr. Chair,
yeah.
I don't believe this speaks at all to the to referring a bill. I mean, you can refer a bill to any committee for any reason. I've seen them referred to all kinds of committees. So I don't think this, with all due respect to my good colleague here, and I know what you're trying to accomplish here, but I don't think this speaks to referral authority at all. It might it might bolster the arguments of someone who is opposing such a referral or yeah. supporting such a referral, but I don't think this speaks at all to referral.
Well, now, Mr. Chairman, bolstering is a good thing.
Okay. we'll get the motion on the floor before we go to any more discussion, if there's any more discussion.
I move.
There is a motion on the floor, is there not? Didn't somebody already move?
No,
on?
No.
But
no,
I
asked for a motion.
Okay. I move that the rules be adopted.
Okay. You have moved to adopt the proposed committee rules dated January 12, 2009. Any discussion? Any?
Only to clarify, sir, that they are committee rules.
They are committee rules. Mm-hmm. Now, the indication here is on
Don't
my script that I need to do a roll call. But if no one objects, are there any objections?
No objections.
Nope.
No objections. Motion passes. Okay, well, we'll now go to SCR 2. And I brought Mr. Dexter, could you come forward? And I know that virtually everyone around the dais here knows why we have to have SCR 2 and why we could not put some of these things in rule, which we were intending to do before. But if you could just give a short explanation to the committee why that is the case, why we need the SCR.
Sure. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, Dexter Johnson, Legislative Council. The Oregon Constitution, a provision of that, states that the Legislative Assembly may not adjourn for more than 3 days without both chambers consenting to that adjournment. The rules are rules of each chamber, so they don't necessarily manifest the rules that are adopted by one chamber don't manifest consent of the other chamber. And this is important for purposes of your schedule because you intend to be absent for 4 days where one chamber does not meet for a four-day period, and therefore you need some kind of manifestation of consent on the part of both chambers to that absence.
Any questions for Mr. Johnson? We'll get a motion on the table. Well, first of all, I will open a public hearing on SCR 2. Is there any member of the public that wishes to testify on SCR 2 or the -3 amendment to SCR 2? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing. I will open a work session.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Well, let's have the motion first.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Co-chair. I move the adoption of the -3 amendments dated January 14th, 2009.
Representative Roblin has moved to adopt the -3 amendments dated January 14th, 2009. Is there any discussion? Senator Ferriola.
No discussion on the -3 amendments.
Okay. Are there any objections to the -3 amendments? This is not the motion on the. This is not the main motion. This is just the adoption of the -3. Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Yes.
Mr. Chair, I move the SCR 2 as amended to the floor with a be adopt recommendation.
Okay. Representative Roblin moves SCR 2 as amended to the floor with the be adopted. It's not in there. Be adopted with the do pass recommendation. It's not in the script. Amend to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, in our previous legislative session, the lack of a public hearing on SCR 1 nearly caused our chamber to meltdown. So I would simply like to point out that having the opportunity to make comment on SCR 2 eliminates, I think, a lot of the potential for that sort of a disconnect between the minority and the majority party over procedures. Public hearings are a critical component of what we do, and I commend the chairman on the opportunity that this public hearing affords not only the public but members to put their feelings and their wisdom on the record. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I would concur with the Senate Republican leader, and just because we had no one here from the public to testify today doesn't mean that they shouldn't have had the opportunity, nor does it mean that in all cases we wouldn't have a member from the public here to testify. Any additions?
Mr. Chair, is this the appropriate time to ask a question about the calendar draft placed before us?
Yes.
Please.
Thank you. I appreciate that. As I read through the resolution and the Dash 3 amendments, I see a number of the items actually listed on SCR 2 printed on the calendar. However, additional items are also printed on the calendar, and specifically, I'm looking at the February 20th listing for the revenue forecast.
Correct.
In the prior rendition of this calendar, that was listed for February 13th.
Yes, it was. I think there was some clarification on why the date needed to be moved. And I would be glad to talk about that with you after the meeting.
And that's not a date that is that is fixed by our resolution, so it's not.
Yeah, I understand that. That's why I said there's both items listed within the resolution and other, but that date is, given our economic condition, quite important, and I'm curious about its.
And Mr. Chair, I might just note that we're still doing it early. This is the March forecast that we're talking about.
Maybe it's because they didn't want to ruin Oregon's birthday.
or leave it on Friday the 13th.
Right.
Well, just as a follow-up to that, given the place we're in, it concerns me to push it back rather than, if it's so important and we know the trend line, it seems we'd actually bring it forward and get that information out and be working towards those issues that are important as it relates to the forecast.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Byrd.
I would like to invite the good representative tomorrow. The House and Senate Revenue Committees will be meeting together to hear from the state economists on what the early signs are for the forecast. So we're very well aware that we need to get heavily on top of this issue.
Yes, Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my understanding is with revenue forecasts that they are typically, the date for release for them is typically set by the state economist, and we then are responding to that date. My understanding is the state economist did originally have a date of the 13th and subsequently changed that to the 20th. I think it's on here mostly for information purposes, but unlike these other dates, which we actually have the opportunity to set and do set in terms of internal deadlines, that's the one that is typically and continuingly set by someone else beyond the legislature.
Any additional questions? Senator Farrell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You made a voluntary offer to clarify for Representative Hannah. Could you do that for the committee, please?
Well, I think the clarification I was going to give has already been given. I also would say, just as a matter of fact, that all of us actually know that forecast is not going to be good. In fact, the more information we can get actually in the hopper before we get that forecast out, the better, because knowing just how bad it will probably serve us, in a sense, in a better way than getting an earlier judgment that proves not to be accurate.
And Mr. Chair, pardon me if I'm a little obtuse today. What was the reason we're delaying the forecast?
There's a combination of things. I think probably the executive branch asked to delay the forecast. Mr. Patowski asked to delay the forecast. The forecast is earlier than normally would be anticipated. There obviously are a lot of things that have to come together here, and I think they want to make sure that the forecast is as accurate as it can be, although those of us that have had to deal with forecasts basically always kind of never really believe that much in them in the first place, but I don't know if anyone else would want to add anything additional.
Mr. Chair, point of order. Doesn't the statute say that the forecast shall go to the legislative branch government?
Yes, it does, but it goes to both branches. Actually, I'm not that closely involved, but my understanding is that the governor sees the forecast before we do.
Yeah, I believe that. I don't know if that's in statute, but who is the whole? Who do we not have a statutory duty to receive that forecast? Is it who has standing, the executive or the legislative, or do both?
I think this is a question for legal counsel.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm still interested to know. So we're delaying the forecast at the specific request of Mr. Patowski? Is that what I'm led to believe?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
My understanding is that we are not delaying it at all. It's merely on here, much like President's Day is on here, as a point of information of something else that's set by someone else beyond us. But the state economists set that as the date, and we are to receive it. I think as legislative counsel may describe to us, there is a statutory requirement that he has to do it by March 1st, as Senator Burdick mentioned. But at what date he does it, whether it is March 1st itself or a week before that or a month before that, my understanding is up to the state economists.
Mr. Chair, members, Dexter Johnson, Legislative Council, Senator Atkinson, in answer to your question, actually, my off the top of my head recollection is that the forecast is not a matter of statute, except for purposes of the kicker, and that it is a function of the state economist to provide that to you, but I don't think it's a statutory function. I could be wrong about that, and I would like to ask if I could follow up with you by email to confirm.
Sure.
I'd be happy to be copied on that as well if Senator Atkinson is agreeable.
I'd be delighted. I'm always agreeable, Jenny.
We do have a motion on the floor to adopt SCR 2 as amended with a due pass recommendation.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure comments are concluded.
No, I was going to see if there were any additional comments.
Only that, I think we have a duty and obligation to other members of the legislature to get the information to them as soon as we possibly can. And unless there's a really, really good reason, either a fiscal implication or one that hasn't been disclosed here, I'd like to know why it is that we are slipping the date by a week. You know, if Mr. Patowski's made the request, I'd like to know why that request has been made. Or if it's coming from someone else, I'd like to know whom and why that request is being made. And I would differ with the chair only in this tiny little respect, and that is that if we adopt this calendar, we're setting the calendar. It isn't a matter of public information. We're going to vote on this thing tomorrow. And it will be a matter of a legislative enactment. So it isn't Mr. Patowski that sets the date for the release. Tomorrow it will be the body.
Mr. Chair,
clear
the record up, the forecast release is not in the amendment or in the bill.
Correct.
So this is not binding. So this could, for all we know, it could slip another week, and that would be legal. Wouldn't be desirable, but we're not bound by this, by that particular part of the calendar.
So it's not a provision
Mr. Chair?
Contained within SCR 2.
Yes. Thank you. In deference to the senator's comment that it's not legal, I think we just heard from Mr. Johnson that he didn't know specifically what the statute said about it.
Yeah.
So whether we're legal or not, maybe we may not know that at the moment. And I only say that because I think that's what I heard Mr. Johnson say, is as it applies to whether we have a statutory ruling for us receiving this report by a certain time is unknown.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Burdick.
If there is a statutory provision, then the statutory provision, I can't remember whether it's March 1st or March 15th. I think it's actually March 15th that we normally have the... So if we have a statutory provision, then we would have to be considerably later than February 20th to violate it.
Okay. Mr. Chairman.
I have two people in the queue, but
before we
go to those, can I get a clarification here? The issue we're now discussing is whether or not this item, if in terms of getting the forecast, if it's a statutory matter. It is not actually a matter that is... that is included within SCR 2. Senator Burdick, the chair of the Revenue Committee, has asked for a report on what the status of that is relative to it being a statutory requirement or not, so that it's in writing. I think Senator Burdick would be more than inclined to provide that opinion to all the members of this committee. And with that, I will take people in queue, which will be Nolan, Roblin, and Representatives Nolan, Roblin, and Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The simple point I want to make is that the question before us is this joint resolution, concurrent resolution, which does not reference the timing of the presentation of the forecast at all and does not incorporate by any reference that I can read this calendar.
Right.
So they are two independent trains running down a track. The only question in front of us is whether we want to lock in the dates that are on this resolution.
Okay. Representative Roblin.
Exactly my point.
Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if I may restate at the risk of misstating, the printed calendar is not by any reference incorporated into SCR 2.
Correct.
That the no action of this committee will have any effect whatsoever on the date of the forecast.
Correct.
And that if the date of the forecast is to be changed, that the authority for making that change resides with the state economist.
If the executive branch and the legislative branch asked for an earlier date, I'm sure the state economist would respond.
Mr. Chair, thanks for that offer. I, on behalf of the Republicans in the Senate, we would accept that as your good faith offer to move the date up, because more information earlier, I think, would serve the body better.
I'm looking, Senator Ferrioli, I'm looking at, I hate to say it this way, I'm looking at pecking order, and we're both on the same peck. Well, that's up to the two presiding officers.
I'm not going to go there. but, Mr. Chairman, given the fact that nothing this committee will do will change the date of the
yeah.
forecast, and that this calendar is not referenced in SCR 2, I certainly have no objection. I simply wanted to make clear that if there's going to be a change in the date of the forecast, I think Mr. Patowski or the administration or a combination thereof owes a clear explanation to the citizens of Oregon as to just exactly why we're slipping the date.
Okay. Okay. Any additional discussion? We have a motion on the floor. As amended with the due pass recommendation. I'm going to do the roll call on this, not because I'm doubting where anyone will be, but this is actually, in terms of the dates on this, this is in a sense a pact between the two chambers, a pact between all the members of the chambers of how we will work, how we will address all of our issues. I think we're facing enormous challenges in this session. I actually believe both chambers are up to those challenges, and all of the members, Democrat or Republican, are up to those challenges. But this is just an agreement between us that we're going to get our work done.
Thank you.
Would you call the roll?
Senator Atkinson.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
They're not on.
Excuse me.
Not here.
Excuse.
Here.
Representative Hunt.
Aye.
Representative Kahn.
Aye.
Senator Metzger.
Aye.
Representative Nolan.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Ferriola.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hannah.
Aye.
Co-Chair Rosen.
Aye.
Co-Chair Devlin.
Aye. Motion passes. Will you note for the record that Senator Atkinson voted no? With that, unless there's anything else for the good of the order, this concludes the business of this committee. We adjourn.